It's important to remember that none of the contents of this podcast, nor the podcast itself, constitutes any kind of investment advice, nor is it a recommendation that you pursue any investment strategy. This podcast is limited to general information purposes only. Welcome to High Definition by Koji. Koji is an early stage investment firm building the global financial stack.
High Definition illuminates the motives of founders, builders, and creators of a new digital economy.
Farmwell is a co-founder of Thales, a binary options platform built on top of the synthetics ecosystem. In this conversation with Farmwell, we talk about his past before crypto, how he entered crypto and what really enticed him about crypto, as well as going into detail about Thales as a product, what it allows the end user to do and what's unique about it, while also discussing the importance of a strong community and the permissionless nature of market creations specifically related to sports betting applications. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Farmwell. Farmwell, thank you so much for coming on High Definition. It's a pleasure to have you here. Before we get into the Thales product, and I know you just launched, let's just start off with a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, sure. So thank you so much, first of all, for having me on the podcast. It's really an honor and a pleasure. Yeah, I come from a background of, you know, studying financial systems and economic systems for several years now, and always really been fascinated by, you know, not only the impacts that markets can have, like on society generally, but also how incentives can, influence how individuals behave. And so, you know, I was probably working in enterprise software for a little bit of time before I made the dive into DeFi. And I remember I was, you know, working on some accounting automations last summer and like aping into yam farms in my free time. And so, yeah, really, really happy to have, made it to be working in DeFi full time. And yeah, I guess started in the synthetics community probably in the summer of 2019, and really just had a bunch of amazing discussions with people and got to know a lot more about, like what DeFi is about and what's possible.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's also, I guess, in the synthetics Discord is also where I had the pleasure of meeting the individual who's now my co-founder, Daniel. So yeah, crypto's been a really amazing thing for me to be involved in, and happy to be here.
100%. I was about to say, if you were introduced to like the yield farming aspects through Yams Finance, that would have been a pretty wild ride, that's for sure. We were speaking to Dan Alitza. He sort of was one of the members that was really pushing that project forward, and it's a pretty interesting community and how it sort of developed over its life cycle from where it started to what it is now. It's really, really cool. And, you know, another community that's really palpable in DeFi is the synthetics community. And you've definitely been able to foster that in Thales as well. So what sort of tips and tricks did you take from looking at the synthetics community when you wanted to build this Thales community?
Sure. I think that one thing with synthetics was that people were always always very willing to speak freely and kind of share what they thought was kind of the best ideas that they had for the protocol and didn't really think too hard about the politics of it. And I think that like kind of in the early days of synthetics, there was just like a bunch of really high IQ individuals. And I think that that attracts other like-minded people. I think that kind of built up a really strong kind of power user base for synthetics. And so I think that, you know, Thales, we're trying to do the same with attracting people to the community who, can really bring sort of a asymmetric intellectual firepower.
Yeah, you definitely see that. To be honest, the Thales Discord community is so ripe. I mean, for how long it's been around, it is seriously buzzing, it reminds me. Quite similar to Ohm as well. That community is extremely palpable too. And there's definitely... a strong playbook that seems like it's being followed, and it seems like it's just working extremely well, which is exciting. So the idea for Thales, that originally came out of the synthetics community as well.
Yeah, so it was probably in about July or June of 2020 when binary options rolled out on synthetics, And there was some really good interest. People were, I think it was mostly the synthetic Spartans and the Link Marines who were keen to kind of put their money where their mouth was and speculate on crypto prices. And so, you know, there was definitely some drawbacks of the model, like namely that anybody that wanted to trade one of these tokens, like you had to do an OTC deal. And so,
right.
Yeah, over time, the synthetics core contributors just decided not to focus too much core resources on the binary options and started to seek out an external team in about October of last year. And so, yeah, as I mentioned, I was kind of working in an enterprise software job, but had my eyes on DeFi a lot. And so kind of put together a pitch and an application with the synthetics core contributors, basically laying out a case why I think that, you know, the team I could build would be able to rock this project. Yeah, luckily got some traction and then convinced my co-founder Daniel to hop on board. And yeah, it's been a fun ride ever since.
For sure. Well, let's get into the Thales product then. You said that when you were studying and whatnot, you were interested in sort of markets and, you know, how to coordinate behavior through incentives. And I feel like Thales sort of embodies that as well. So yeah, what is Thales and sort of what is the dynamics for a user?
Sure. So Thales is essentially, it's a binary options trading protocol. So what is a binary option is always a great starting point. So if we were talking, you know, say Bitcoin, we're thinking about the Bitcoin price and Bitcoin at a price of $48,000, United States dollars, and, you know, say the market will expire on August 5th, next Friday. Essentially what a binary options pool for this market is that if Bitcoin is above $48,000 on the expiry date, then everyone who's holding a long token will win the pool. The short tokens don't win. Conversely, if Bitcoin is below $48,000 on next Friday, then the shorts will win. And so it's basically kind of this face-off between the longs and shorts to see who's right. And so we have oracles from Chainlink that provide the data feed, very secure Oracle price feeds. And yeah, that's kind of the basic layout is that Thales can support not only Bitcoin, but Ether, Gold, Tesla, index products like SDFi or SCFi, a whole range of products that are available to trade on synthetics are also prices that we can support for binary options markets. So yeah, really with Thales, we're excited to not only explore these asset price feeds, but also to adapt our smart contracts to support sports outcomes. And so we've done that with the MVP. And yeah, we have some sports markets that we launched with the MVP. And we thought it'd be a nice kind of additional feature for the product launch. So yeah, we're really excited about the opportunities that.
Yeah, for sure. I think launching with Olympic Games markets is so sick. And it's kind of funny as well because Olympic Games and Thales, you know, both sort of like the Greek background. So it's almost fitting for the MVP launch in that regard. Yeah, it is cool. Binary options, you don't really see them in traditional markets. And I think DeFi has sort of allowed for this technology to flourish and really gain traction, which is really cool to see. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out and how it adopts, especially in the sports betting landscape as well. So yeah, I guess what's your future vision in terms of that side of updating smart contracts to more sports betting approach? Because I know that that's what you've been thinking about for a while, yourself and Daniel.
Yeah, totally. So I think that probably some of the most interest that I've had from talking with community members has definitely been around NBA. It seems like basketball is kind of a sport that has a lot of really global appeal. And yeah, we want Thales to be kind of a global platform. So, you know, if the Thales team as core contributors can support some of these ball markets from a core perspective, yeah, we're confident that, you know, we'd like to iterate and continue to roll out products and then, and kind of scale from there. So really excited about it.
Another thing that you guys innovated on, and I was checking this out this morning because you just went live on Mainnet. Also, if you're listening, would recommend checking it out. It is super, super unique. This UI is, it's wild. You open a market, you're looking at the user interface and you can literally close certain sections of what you're seeing. So say there's the trading view screen, you want to enlarge that, you can enlarge that on your computer. If you've got the order book on the side powered by OX protocol, you can just delete that section if you don't want to look at it. What was the sort of the thought process around that UI? Because I don't think I've ever seen another DeFi project do that, and it could be the new normal.
Yeah, that's a really great call out, Jack. I'm super stoked that you noticed that. So yeah, I guess probably going back a couple of years, the BitMEX protocol was something that, or the BitMEX project was something that was always really a place that I kind of cut my teeth as a trader, trading these perpetual swaps on leverage. But yeah, so one of the developers at BitMEX has published this package called React Grid Layout. And essentially what React Grid Layout does is that you can do exactly what you said. You can customize your user interface so that it's as comfortable as possible for you. So if there's something that you don't want to look at on the screen, you can just click that out. If you come back later and you want to bring it back in, no problem. Yeah, so it's definitely want to make the user experience as comfortable as possible. And so having some customizable components on the webpage, yeah, definitely from our perspective, it accomplishes that.
Yeah, honestly, I was just blown away when I was looking at it. I might have to steal a couple of those ideas.
Totally, go for it. Yeah.
It's just crazy how you're just innovating on the DAO front as well, and you went for a full DAO first approach. Would you be able to just sort of walk us through that, and then I guess leading to the DAO to DAO contributions and collaborations that you're going into?
Yeah, totally. So starting with the DAO first raise was that, yeah, this is definitely like a very unique way to raise capital. There was no SCFT. There's no really kind of legal paperwork that might traditionally be associated with backing an early stage project. And basically, you know, as builders, like we want to focus on getting the product to market and on like developing new features. And so, you know, the whole process of doing a capital raise, in a sense, is kind of overhead, because that's time that you could be spending developing another feature or talking to your users. And so the DAO first approach was like really incredible in terms of how quickly we were able to raise the capital for the project. Yeah, I think that we probably wrapped up the raise in about 4 to 6 weeks or so. And I think, yeah, I was talking to someone up in New York, and he said that he was on a project and they were, you know, raising, I think, for 12 months or something. So I think that in crypto, we definitely have some technological edge in terms of like how fast capital can be raised. So yeah, with the DAO first approach, you know, we were able to interface with other kind of community-led organizations. So the Honey DAO was one that we were really pleased to work with. The Lao up in, yeah, I guess the Lao is actually global, is another one that we were pleased to work with. But yeah, it's this idea that, you know, DAOs are definitely the future, and it's a new way of organizing and getting things accomplished. So yeah, had a lot of fun with the DAO first approach. And then more recently with the 0x DAO, you know, this is a community DAO that has an initiative that they want to promote usage of the protocol. And so, you know, since we're using their order books and some of their technology, we're able to get really good incentive alignment, in the sense that, you know, they want to drive volume. We're a platform that's driving volume. And so, yeah, basically, with this grant, we're able to facilitate those objectives a little bit more so.
And along the DAO line, also, you've adopted a governance structure similar to the Spartan Council, and that's the Thales Council, which was solidified 2 days ago. Would you be able to sort of describe the thought process behind why you chose to go down that line for the governance?
Sure, absolutely. It's that's a super astute question once again. So essentially, since Thales is a project that's kind of spun out of the Synthetics ecosystem, we wanted to preserve the legitimacy of the project, in the sense that SNX stakers have now voted on the Thales Council. So the Thales Council basically inherits all of that kind of like decentralized voting power that SNX stakers already have. And so one thing that we're really pumped about is that the Thales Council can now act legitimately to do things such as approve the launch of the contracts. And so, yeah, as far as we know, like this is the most decentralized launch of a protocol that's ever been done. And we did it like through DAOs. So, you know, there was a SIP to formalize the Thales Council in the synthetics governance. And then, you know, the Spartan Council luckily signed off and they were supportive of it. And yeah, so we're able to kind of keep the legitimacy that, you know, the Thales Council is enacting the will of the SNX token holders.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And we're super stoked to be on that as well with Jean-Luc, one of the Koji team members. So yeah, really excited to be one of those, I guess, stewards to help enact the changes that the community sees fit. Yeah, speaking about the community, obviously we spoke earlier about how it's strong and how it's palpable. Do you think that's a function predominantly from tapping into the synthetics ecosystem or simply the excitement built around, you know, this new DeFi product and the potential that it has, or maybe both of those sort of factors colliding?
No, Jack, I think you're right. I think it's both. I think that there's definitely a bunch of tailwinds from synthetics, that just a bunch of really sharp people who are keen to support new projects. And yeah, we've seen a ton of overflow of people who kind of came from the synthetic community who are very active with Thales. And you know, like I still consider myself a synthetics community member to the core. And you know, and like being a community member has kind of like had this like meme terminology, but I think with synthetics, like it's something that a lot of people kind of walk with pride with, that they're a community member of synthetics, just based on everything that the protocol's been through and accomplished. But yeah, I think that, you know, kind of moving forward, I am pretty excited that we'll probably see more J curve growth and users, and that there will be some trickle down effects for communities like Thales for sure.
I'm definitely, I don't know, I think communities in DeFi, perhaps they do have that sort of meme like connotation to it, but I'm definitely a big believer in communities, because the way that I sort of see it is you could view communities as sort of low velocity money. They're the sort of individuals that will, you know, not just come in for the quick yield and run away. They're the individuals that will be through the ups and the downs because they came for the vision in the first place, and then stick around for the value and the creation that they can add, and how Thales itself can add value to those holders and contributors as well. Whereas liquidity, on the other hand, is more so high velocity money rather. So money that will come in for the yield has no attachment to the success of the project and sort of pillage the rewards that you've sort of presented early on to try and stimulate that community growth. So no, I'm a big believer in community, and I think there's a distinct difference in the longevity of projects depending on if they're able to attract the long-term community mindset versus those that simply drip down rewards that only ever sit in the short-term mindset for individuals. So yeah, I think it's really cool to see Thales in the early days be able to already incentivize and foster that sort of long-term mentality, which I think is super hard, and it's sort of a tacit skill to be able to inject that into a community. And I think you guys have done that super effectively, which is super important.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, from my perspective, that's a major competitive mode and how Thales can definitely become successful and stay successful is having, you know, a sharp, engaged community. And I think that, you know, to be working on a project with people that are so engaged is electric, honestly. It's a really awesome thing to be a part of. So yeah, it's been a blast so far.
I think another aspect of the project that is definitely tapping into that community and making the community stronger is the fact that you've really been pushing for this sort of permissionless market creation by any individual that touches the platform. So when you go to Thales, for example, you're not restricted to maybe like five whitelisted sort of markets, and those markets are the ones that are incentivized and sponsored and have deep liquidity. You go to this website to Thales markets, and you can literally create a market that you want to trade in, as long as it's, you know, a synthetic asset or one of these sports betting sort of markets outside of the synthetics ecosystem. And I think that is super cool, because it allows anyone to create any type of market they want and not restricted to what, you know, the platform deems as the markets that they should be able to trade in.
Yeah. And I mean, it's your point. Another thing that part of what's been a really big inspiration was a protocol like DHedge, which also comes out of Australia. Yeah. And I mean, this is like a protocol where they're democratizing it so that anybody can be a hedge fund manager. And so
super cool.
We're, you know, so Thales is very close to DHedge as a project. And we're very fortunate to have Apollo Capital and some of the people who run DHedge as very strong supporters of Thales. So it's like, you know, we're all about this notion of democratizing finance and really making it possible for anybody to be involved as much as their talents will allow them to. And not, yeah, basically, you know, there should be no reason that there's a gatekeeper preventing people who are talented from participating in this market.
Yeah, for sure. And along that line as well with DHedge, you're also going to be able to use Thales binary options as one of those sort of portfolio managers in DHedge. Is that correct?
So yeah, one of the early feedbacks that we had heard about from DHedge pool managers was that there's some frustration with like lack of tools or maybe a lack of weapons in the arsenal. And so yeah, from the Thales side, we're extremely happy to try to fill that gap and try to bring binary options to DHedge pool managers to enable them to express a larger variety of market views.
Yeah, for sure. And I think not to shill Thales too much, but it's also cool because you obviously, like, there's two sides of DeFi, one of which is like strictly DeFi and, you know, quite crypto native individuals love these sort of applications. But then you've also got the more consumer facing applications. So we're talking more so down the NFTs, we're talking social tokens and metaverse plays. And I feel like Thales sort of sits in between those two regions. It obviously taps into DeFi and you're able to make these DeFi integrations with DHedge. And you're also using SUSD as sort of your entry point, which is the synthetic asset. But because it is a speculative market and taps into sports betting, I also sort of see it being quite consumer facing in the sense that, yeah, it's just pure sort of speculative markets. Right. And learning anything from the NFT and the metaverse market is you're likely to attract users outside of the current crypto space more easily than you would if you are strictly a core DeFi product, one of which isn't really low barrier to entry for individuals that are outside of the space. It's going to play into a huge part of the rapid growth that Thales and the potential that Thales has, because it's a product that people are already used to.
Mm. Yeah, I think you raised a really good point, Jack, that essentially probably like 2 days ago, I was talking with another DeFi founder and his perspective is that there's so many users that are coming into Ethereum and that are coming into DeFi that you can kind of just focus on making the existing kind of DeFi user base happy and you'll get users that way. Conversely, I think that, you know, the Thales contracts, we are really well equipped to support sports betting. And like, who doesn't like, I mean, I don't know. Like I love sports. I love, you know, so for me, it's super exciting to build technology that you actually want to use. And so, you know, if now the opportunity for Thales to kind of attract new people into these markets, you know, where it's totally permissionless and you'll never be turned away from interacting with Thales sports betting markets. Yeah, really, really hoping that can hopefully, you know, make a new avenue for sure. Users who want to get involved. Yeah.
Yeah. And who doesn't love sports betting? The Australian market is massive for it. I mean, any Friday night that you're in Australia, you're watching the footy and then you and your mates are putting a punt on. Like it just happens every single week. It is massive. It's a massive culture here. And there's no doubt in my mind that people will be picking up Thales. And like to my point earlier, I have a lot of people sort of in my non-crypto circle that are starting to come to me and go, hey, look, have you heard of this project? And it's not necessarily, you know, your core DeFi projects like MakerDAO or Synthetics, for example, but they're more on the fringe of, I guess, outward facing to, yeah, your non-crypto native. So we're talking like the gaming applications, the speculative applications. And I could definitely see Thales in that sports betting arena being one of those entry points where they don't even really know that it is crypto at first glance, but they know that it's just this speculative market for anything that it can trade on. So I think that's a pretty huge sort of area that you've tapped into there.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's really the goal with the MVP is that we've had a really nice working relationship with the great gentleman at at Chainlink. And so there are definitely struggles around like how to scale the data side of things. But you know, the best way to learn how to scale is to just implement something. And so that's what the MVP has accomplished. And you know, like our team, the Thales team has already gotten a really strong sense of how we'll move into additional markets from here. So it's been like a really great experience to just get a product live and get something into users' hands. And then from here, you know, we're excited that we'll have a much stronger footing to iterate and to meet a lot more client demand.
Yeah, man. Well, definitely keen to see how it unfolds. And yeah, I mean, Koji's obviously super stoked to be backing you and supporting you both, you know, as a early stage investor, but also as a council member. Yep. So yeah, I'm super stoked to be a part of this community and see it grow. But Farmwell, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, man. Always is. And I'm looking forward to chatting again in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure. Pleasure's all mine.
Awesome. Cheers.
And that marks the end of our episode at High Definition. If you want to find out more about our guests, visit our website at koji.capital. If you're a founder looking for funding or support, reach out to us via Twitter at Koji Capital or through email hello@koji.capital. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next episode.